Blog Talk Radio.
This is a call in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this day revealed to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I?
Church and state has come together to let your glory shine.
Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I the First. Bring me my sons and daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari. In the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world, in the land of Ethiopia.
This evening we're giving it to you from 9 to 11, and from next week Thursday we start at 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. We have a lovely show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be promoting UJAMA's Backyard Session. It's a second annual tribute to all fallen soldiers, and that's October 9th, that's tonight. We have Father German, Earl Moody, Claude, Marty, Kevin, and Don Brown, who have passed away in recent years. And I'm adding to that list Rasta Menelik. And we're going to be asking ones who is in the area to go and support. The show starts at 5 and goes on to 1 a.m. It's vinyl selections by Rastayo, Dirty, 45s, King Milo, Top Cat, Jamizo, Jawan, Jalion, Slamatic, and for the early juggling, you have DJ Anthony. And the address is 406 Utica Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. Yes, that's just below the train station, number 3 and 4. So with that, I want to let you know that the theme for tonight's show is self-development and the way to power. This is a form of empowerment, empowering yourself, you know, so that your life can, you can be comfortable with your life. And then again, we're going to give you some information about our central organization, the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. And the international president is Dr. James Winburn, and he is the facilitator for this show. It's Block Radio, the Neo Nation state radio station. We got several programs going on. I'm the host for the Stepping Out show. So we're going to be telling you about our plans and business too. So right now I would like to start off with an American artist by the name of Whitney Houston, simply because in my show is centrally directed to the American black people, because in we need to keep them abreast with the progress that we are making globally, right? So let's see what Whitney Houston has to offer us tonight. Thank you. Yes, so we're dealing with self-development tonight on the way to power. We have two different sections. The first requisite is as follows. Desire is a force that may be beneficial or detrimental. So the first requisite is to have the desire to have power in the process of developing yourself, your character, okay, your traits, your habits. So desire is a force that may be beneficial or detrimental according to its use. As we may eradicate a desire, so may we create a desire. How then a one who seeks the highest self-development use desire, this propulsive force of nature, to help him or herself forward? You should desire spiritual progress most earnestly, for without such desire, you cannot succeed. Therefore, if the aspirant does not have the ardent desire for spiritual illumination, he or she must create it. To accomplish this, you must call again imagination to your assistance. Picture yourself as having this power for usefulness, many times multiplied by occult development. You should think of yourself as possessing the inner sight that enables you to understand the difficulties of others and to comprehend their sorrows. You should daily think of the fact that this would so broaden and quicken your sympathies that you would be enormously more useful in the world than you can now possibly be, and that you could become a source of happiness to thousands. You must reflect that as you get further along in occult development and in unselfishness and spirituality, you may have the inestimable privilege of coming into contact with some of the exalted intelligences that watch over and assist the struggling aspirants on their upward way. You should daily recall the fact that you are now moving forward toward a freer, richer, more joyous life than you have yet known, and that every effort brings you nearer to its realization. Thus, dwelling on the subject in its various aspects, you create the ardent desire that serves to propel you forward. If you think that these things make an ideal too high for you at present, you may reach that point by gradual degrees. You may at first dwell in thought upon the personal satisfaction that will come from the possession of astral sight. That's another subject we have to go into. You must reflect upon what it will mean to be conscious of the invisible world. That's the world I'm referring to. To have all its wonders laid open before you, to be able to consciously meet the so-called dead, including your friends and relatives in the astral world. You must be able to have the positive personal proof that we survived the death of the physical body, to be able to become one of the invisible helpers of the world, to have attainable goals, to have available the priceless advantage of the astral region, and to bring the consciousness of all this into the physical life. That is certainly something worth all the time and effort required to attain it. Thus thinking constantly of the widened horizon in life and added powers, it would confer the desire to move forward in self-development will greatly be stimulated. But the student should always keep it in mind that the real purpose of acquiring new powers is to increase your capacity for service to the human race, and that he or she who falls short of that ideal walks upon dangerous ground. That's the first requirement. I'm going to play you some another fallen soldier. I'm going to dig up James Brown for you. As I say, I'm devoting it to the Black Americans while at the Udama tonight at 406 Utica. They are devoting it to our Rastafarians and Roots people, Kevin, Claude, Marty, Earl Moody, Don Brown, Father German. As you know, Father German was the host for the Power of Reggae Music. Who don't know? Yes, they had a 4 p.m. Monday night engagement every Monday night. And myself and Ras Menelek, who also passed away, were special guests. So honor and majesty to all those brothers and sisters. If you notice, we don't have any females here because the females don't have the longevity that that is necessary for long life. So let me move to our other singer. In the meanwhile, the Ethiopian World Federation, located in, it's a global organization with headquarters located in New York, is really going through a revitalizing process. And we are inviting ones and ones to find a local or to start one. The procedure is a simple one. As long as you're Black, you're entitled to be a member. The central organ, which Dr. Winburn is the international president for, has particular responsibilities. The responsibility of this organ is to formulate policies and procedures based on the constitution and bylaws that is in compliance with local and international laws that govern the organization. Organize an annual convention where international officers and directors are elected, give reports, and allow local resolutions to be ratified by the delegates. It also issues local unit charters by constitutional requirements. It instructs and guides the locals on procedure. It makes representation to the United Nations and other governments internationally on behalf of the membership, designs development plan for the Sassamani land and the repatriation exercise, and to manage the complete development and occupation of all mass movement of people from the West to Africa. We know that we have been brought here many years ago, over a period of 500 years, and most of us have the desire to go home. In this time of pandemic and so on, and torture, and climate change and so on, we see every day more the need for quick action in support of this. So, brethren and sisters, with faith, courage, and a just cause, even in this time, David will still be able to slay Goliath. So press on with faith and majesty, and we will accomplish our goal. So let me give you our brethren, James Brown. This is James Brown live in Paris, 1968. And that's the band warming up, the famous plane. Yes, people. Our James Brown thing just take a blow, you know. So in the meanwhile, let me continue with the self-development. The second requisite is a firm will. Okay? A firm will is the second requisite. It should not be forgotten that an unusual and difficult thing is being attempted in which a person of weak will, you have a short week when you have a weak will, cannot hope to succeed. Even in the ordinary life of the world, considerable will power is essential to success. To succeed in business, to become expert in a profession, or to completely master an art requires a strong will, determination, and perseverance. The difficulties in occult development are still greater. And while it is true that any degree of effort is well worthwhile, the weaklings will not go far. Only those with the indomitable will that knows neither surrender nor compromise may hope for a large measure of success. Once the will is thoroughly aroused and brought into action, every hindrance in the way will be swept aside. Here's a quotation. The human will, a force unseen, the offspring of a deathless soul, can hew a way to any goal, though walls of granite intervene. Be not impatient of delay, but wait as one who on ivory stands. When spirit rises and commands, the gods are ready to obey. So mighty is the force when aroused, but if you can be easily deceived by or about your will, you are likely to think your will is much stronger than it really is. You may say to yourself, oh yes, I would go through anything for the sake of the higher life and spiritual illumination. But that is no guarantee that after a few months of monotonous work, you may not abandon it. Unless you adopt the wise plan of strengthening your will as you move forward, you must begin this by testing your present strength of will. But be not discouraged by the result, whatever result you get. You should remember that whatever you lack in willpower, you can evolve, eventually get it by proper effort. To find out whether you really have much strength of will, you as a person can begin to observe, test yourself, to what extent you permit your daily plans to be modified or entirely changed by the things that run counter to your will. But you must not be discouraged by the result. You should remember your sole aim and purpose is to develop your will. Do you hold steadfastly to your purpose, or do you weakly surrender to small obstacles? Do you have the willpower to even begin the day as you have planned it? The evening before you decided that you would rise at 6 a.m. the next morning, you know that there are certain excellent reasons why you should do so, and you retire with the matter fully decided. It is positively settled that at exactly 6 a.m. the day's program shall begin. But when this clock strikes that hour the next morning, you feel strongly inclined to disobey the summons. It involves some bodily discomfort to rise at that moment, and you conclude that after all, perhaps you were a bit hasty the evening before in deciding upon that 6 hour. Whereupon you consider the matter and make it heaven. And when that time comes or arrives, you generously extend it to 8 o'clock. The hour, of course, is unimportant. But whenever might have been the hour that was previously determined, upon the keeping of that determination is of use in helping you in the diagnosis of your will. Yes, so it is a self-development. And there are exercises that you can, you know, involve yourself in that strengthens that will. So we have this program going on at the Yodharma tonight, and I would like to really keep on promoting it for my brethren and sister. And one of the brethren who was not included on this on the flyer is Russell Menelik. And he is well known in the New York area. He's been living here for about 30 years or thereabouts. And before he passed away, he actually made 16 different songs which have not been released, all of them original and original tracks. And the name of that album is Meet Me at the Waterhole. And some of the songs are Cry Blood, They Live in a Way, Lamentation, Mama Ras, More Fire, Sweet Music, Face of an Angel, They Never Fail I Yet, Life, Nubian Woman, and the first track that we did together was Pure Liberation. And I have some contributions to the project also. Old Slave Trade. You know, I do the spoken word most of the time. Stop the War. The Great Jah. Where is the Love? And there are three more tracks that Russ Menelik did. Big Bad Wolf. 5 tracks. The Daughter. Go and Tell the Whole World, and Meet Me at the Waterhole, which is the title of the CD album. So these are assets. These are, you know, residual income for that can help his family and help others. So this is a very viable project, and we have non-profit organization by the name of EDGE, E-D-G-E, which is Economic Development and Growth, you know, Empowerment. And we have a system we call the Incubator System, where we take someone's business and actually go over it overall, check out all the necessities, like venture capital, location, personnel, material, all the areas that are necessary to make the business work. And when whatever is short, we provide the funds for the full complement of necessities on terms that are agreeable. So right now we are preparing the system of acquiring the funds. And one of the projects that we have is also the African Renaissance Festival in Ghana next year. It's a major investment, and the team is being built as I speak. The artists are being booked. The CEO, founder, just returned from a trip to Ghana where he consolidated the acquisition of the place and got the consulates and diplomats and government heads, you know, involved in the project to make it real and make it happen successfully. So we have several Zoom communication on a weekly basis. You have to call in. We have a call-in number. But we're not going to be utilizing that. This program is really a startup program. Next week, we change the day from Saturday to Thursday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. next week. And we will be like lifting anchor and setting sail. So right now we are still in the harbor. And I would like to my producer to play some of the Shesamani music for me so that I can, my engineers are here so that I can really do some sorting out here. Producer? You mean, all right, and then, thank you.
Holy lips are lost to the first, I'm calling all of his children. Bring forth the manifestation of a divine work.
Represent the kingdom of the Almighty.
Yes, I. We don't know that tonight is devoted to the fallen soldiers. We have a brethren, you know, ancient bongo man of Jamaica. Yeah, man, he come from my town in Montego Bay. In Bongo Isaac. Yes, and that one is a, one of the most spiritual rasta man I buck up on. From my knowing is just, I'm cow, I'm like a farm, I'm there with, I'm queen passed several years ago. And I'm devoted right up until the last moment. These Irish who transcend are there to help us. We must remember that. That is our culture. We can't follow people and dismiss spirituality. Right? Those spirits, unless one don't believe that there's a God, well, we can't help the one there. But those who know that there's this supreme, omnipotent, omnipresent being, right? We know that the prophecies, it speak of man as God. Yes, and come forward in that appearance so that I and I could fully feel comfortable about our Creator. We have a historical visit that he made to Jamaica, which really inspired I in 1963. Yes, I stood at the roundabout and how about you and seeing past I'm glory. But before that, there was a terrible thing that happened in Jamaica amongst the races, you know. And I'm going to spend some time and give the idea of background history of it. And while doing so, I asked the producer to stand by with the next one of them Shasha Mahani song there. Not coming off of that for the rest of the program. Next Thursday, we can go into our format of formal magazine style radio program. But right now, it's a falling sword of them. So some of the bedding them fall by way of, you know, not having good health because of the poverty surrounding, and some die from ill treatment, some die from being murdered, you know, not just sickness alone. And some brethren really go to a great age and eventually pass it through natural cause too. But I'm saying all these brethren who sacrifice on our behalf, they can't forget them, because them give you the strength to move on. The continuum, you know, continuity. Yes, and we reach a stage now where the item can see. You don't need no convincing. But the beast, Lego now, get desperate now, man, kill off all the people. And now, and just have a few million people play Merc like Satan win. So, Coral Garden is a little district in Montego Bay, located 11 miles outside of the heart of the town. He was this giant of a man. His name was Rudolph Franklin, but his street name was Blue Monday. Few people know him. His name was Monday, Blue Monday. Only the Montegonian people believe it. Not in the newspaper ever published, but I tell you, I don't know. He was born and known for his strength and skills at farming, animal husbandry, and them type of things. His agility with his hands, you know. He could be seen at intervals with a whip used to drive cows. And he could cast a rope around a cow's horn from any distance as long as he can reach there. Such was the reputation of Blue Monday. He traveled mostly by night from one side of Montego Bay to the other, winding through the hills from one crop to the other. And that's the type of farmer he was. He was fearless and hardworking. He was given a piece of land in the Coral Garden adjacent to other farmers who were permanent residents, you know, the middle class and upper class, landowners in the area. It was rumored that a particular property that was gated and well secured from trespassers kept losing things from half the property. and no one could figure out what was the matter of entry into the papa. The story goes that it was being entered by a giant of a man, and some people had it to say that it was Blue Monday, and he entered by lifting the huge iron gate from off its hinges and replacing it when he was satisfied with what he needed for the property. Whether this reputation was just a fable or not, one thing was sure. The Montego Bay police was searching for him, and a particular policeman was determined to kill him if ever they met each other. So Blue Monday was a seasoned hillsman, very slippery and very clever, so he kept them at bay for a very long time. Meanwhile, the Jamaica ruling political party had been running the country for only a few months, just getting power. This is 1963. In 1962, the British was removed from power over Jamaican people. But then leave a order in control of the British Empire rule with a governor general. But the black people start to run the parliament and the government business. So, the year 62, that independence was granted, and the government was determined to get rid of the Rastafarians by any means necessary, especially because of tourism. They considered tourism as an important economic factor. The government in power and the opposition party both took an oath to destroy the movement. And since the British was unsuccessful with their sociological and economical strategies, like the moral rearming or the Bacchawal police invasion, they would wrap it up in short notice. When the rumors began to spread that Blue Monday was a Rastafarian, special policemen were sent from Kingston to assist in capturing him. And that gave the government the very excuse that they were seeking to launch a full-scale attack on the movement island-wide. When Blue Monday was eventually cornered in the hills one night, he was shot 6 times, and he was feared dead. So they weren't sure, so they waited until daylight and followed the blood stains until he was found and thought to be dead. However, when the body arrived at the hospital for examination, the doctor declared him to be alive. And he was admitted in the hospital under very heavy police guard. Eventually, he was brought before a judge and sentenced to 9 months in prison. After a couple of months, and he recovered and became strong enough to go to court. That happened. The doctors, however, informed Blue Monday that they couldn't remove the remaining cells from his body or he would die. And furthermore, whenever he starts to smell the wound in his stomach, near his neighbor decaying, he wouldn't have much longer to live. When he realized and was released from prison, he made a plan to take his revenge or die trying. So after months of training, he had several soldiers train with him who wanted the same kind of result, to take revenge. So Thursday the 12th of April now, which is the day before Good Friday, most Jamaicans who were church members would celebrate that day as Holy Thursday in preparation for Good Friday when it is said that Christ was crucified on a cross. Almost all Christians attend service at their various churches, and the day is celebrated as a national holiday. That Thursday morning, I boarded a train from Kingston Railway Station heading for Montego Bay, as I always do whenever the opportunity presented itself on holidays, whose Montego Bay me born. While the train was winding through the hills of St. Elizabeth, I noticed a number of armored cars are small military security vehicles designed like tankers. They were descending the hill and passed a mountain that was steep enough. Some trucks have a park in the middle of the journey and cool off the engine before they can complete it. I wondered whether it was a routine exercise being carried out by the army or was this some serious army operation. Well, too, I passed through the military, I might have an idea for them operate, you know. My mind flashed to good as my grandfather spoke about. It did not mean they were shovered with riches and vanity. Richness was their pride and love for humanity and love for each other. And they expressed this love. Homicides or murder, as they call it, or killing of one another. What a scary thing back in those days. So that's why they call them the good old days. When the villages were the family for everyone. These were different days. And death by unnatural causes was increasing rapidly among the population at this time, 1963. Just a thought. A momentary concern and reflection. My mind snapped out of that spell and returned to enjoying my ride through the countryside once again. It coasted to its final stop in Montego Bay, just about 200 yards from the former marital home of my parents. Shortly after 9 o'clock p.m., I went across town, directly to my aunt's home at 13 Paradise Road. Early, that's them call it North Gully, right behind me. So early on Good Friday morning, I was awakened by a gunshot. It sounded like heavy artillery, .303 rifles. I could recognize that by the sound. I sprang out of my bed and ran out to the fence. And to my amazement, I see a man with, you know, cloth at them tie around the neck when they're going to trim me. Most places have a cloth at them tie, but in Jamaica, the big cloth of reach almost below your waist, cover up your neck. But anyway, the man was a runner, and when he looked at the uniformed soldier, run out in the middle of the street, go down on his knee, hear me, and firing, you know. Running down the lane about 50 yards ahead was the man with the white teeth tied around his neck, obviously running from the barbershop across the road. It seemed as if he was getting a trim at the barbershop when the whole place erupted into chaos. Most of the neighbors were still in church at this time. The word spread rapidly. The Rasta had an uprising and all Rastas were to be either captured and brought to the police station or killed and their body brought to the hospital yard. The same hospital where I was born, named after the same doctor who took me from my mother's womb, Dr. Herbert Morrison. The mother's school name after him too. Yes, great man that helped poor people is in take me out of my mother's bed. What took place after that is not just a shame on the authorities and the civilians that participated. It's a total condemnation of their moral integrity. The story goes that Blumond had murdered a guest who was staying at a residence for a garden. He set a nearby gas station on fire. While the manhunt was being prepared, the National Security High Command in Kingston was alerted, and the Prime Minister and five ministers of government, the Commissioner of Police, the Army Brigadier, and hundreds of military troops boarded planes and arrived in Montego Bay Airport, leaving behind the Minister of Information, Edward Yaga, who later on became a thorn in our back, a young and ambitious politician, to monitor the press report so that the international human rights fraternity would not be aware of taking place in Jamaica. Anyway, in quieted down that nobody knows me come along and are accurately informed about their plans to massacre the Rasta there. Meanwhile, the top brass convened a meeting at the nearby Holiday Inn Hotel and set out to execute their plans on reverse psychology insurrection. Before they arrived, however, Blue Monday and around six other accomplices set up an ambush at Carroll Gardens where they knew the police would come searching for them. Eight people were already dead before the contingency from Kingston arrived. Among the dead were two policemen and Blue Monday himself, but ensured after that is now on record as the Black Friday Carroll Garden Massacre. For at least seven consecutive days, small private aircraft were patrolling the skies, providing the paramilitary troops underground with location information while trucks and other vehicles were rounding up, killing and using anything from machete, scissors, knife, broken bottle, or anything to trim anyone who wore a beard, had locks on their head. And if they ever try to run, then they'll shut them down. Come on, if them even wear a bushy hair, them carry them in. So that is a quick rundown on the type of thing, you know. I'm not also a producer for Lick and Extract from the musical Scott in Wax. We when it comes to Shashamani, when it comes to Harlem, and when it comes to Kingston, yeah, you won't hear enough history from them three places. I have a program coming about the Ethiopian Airlines. It's carry an unusually reputable history of air travel. Hardly have any accidents and all that. And recently, because of certain corruption and malfunction, 100 people were killed in a crash nearby. I have the details recorded and I'm going to bring it on a program in the future. So, producer, you can start from there now. Thank you.
Go with what's written and said.
Yes, I am. So right now, where culture is very powerful, well known around the world. Enough people is really recognizing us for our principles and our ethics and our love and our care for the human race, and some taking advantage of it, but culture is always evolving, you know. Today's action will become tomorrow's culture. And the youths are the ones who inherit tomorrow's land and which the seeds of culture are sown. There are different kinds of culture, and culture can be engineered towards a particular process, resulting in diverse people being oppressed. Our geography significantly affects our lives, which helps to determine the benefits or disadvantages that we significantly experience. We must be careful not to perform wanton experiments with our social engineering tools while attempting to give the right to every member of the human race to choose the life that he or she requires or desires, to become happy and to enjoy the bliss that life and this earth has to offer. Customs, you know, religion, education, politics, and tradition, these are but some of the tools that are used to direct the people's culture. Somebody else is always trying to make others think a particular way. When ethnic background is foreign to the education being taught to a people, there's always a rise of problem. Therefore, we must identify a cultural thread which we have in common to bind us together in unity. Music is one of them. I see, despite our diversity, sports is one of them. Despite our diversity, the arts, you know. Yeah, when musicians come together, them the do re mi fa so la ti do, no matter where them come from. That's a common thread. And keep a beat. No man don't count, there's no man from earth count as much as a musician who play music every day. Guys, you have to keep counting the beats. That's how the harmony come in, you know. You think same just up that place, so but we think every man blow the hand and stop same time and stop the count them account, beats to the bar. See? Musician's secret may reveal still. Anyway, the point is though that we have these skills and we have the ability to educate people using those skills and pass it on like a baton in a race. See? So we set up departments within the Ethiopian World Federation which soon revealed to the world, and the definitive word is culture. That is in that objective, it has its purpose. And it needs an inventory comprising of a headquarters, property, furniture and maintenance, equipment, a performance studio, rehearsal space, instruments, tools, and technical and professional personnel. There's a need, we always know that there was a need to produce an international project. You know, like we call it cultural exchange. We are in people from different backgrounds, different geographical locations would travel from where they come from and go elsewhere and perform. And those people where they visit go to their country and exchange and perform too. And it really lifts up the populace, you know, it helps. Yeah. So there's a brother known him, Brother Jacob. Yeah, Dr. Roots, we call him. He's a prolific individualist, yes. Starting status, but dynamic. And he set up a thing in African Renaissance Movement. And the African Renaissance movement comprised of all black people who were thinking in one direction. And instead, the state spent a lot of money already line up the authorities in Ghana to have a festival next year, just around May, June, July there. Because of the corona, then I don't know if the date is fixed, but it's around that time there. So people, we have to increase the communication. Because then we need the support. We need our black people to support what we're doing, because then we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for all black people. Our constitution, our preamble says, we the black people defend liberty and solidarity, freedom and self-determination. You see, those words, you can say that you are, when it comes to liberty and freedom and the integrity of Ethiopia, that is our divine heritage, undisputed. All them fight against monarchies and kingdom and things, those things are undisputed. We have the authority to move forward, as I say. We see a courage and the scars, even in the 21st century, we will still collide. Still through Goliath, yeah man. So the need to produce an international project has been fulfilled by our brethren, Brother Jacob, right? Comprising of cultural exchange and trading work, the world tour, right? And it's going to be 2022. Yes, and he has identified the following, you know, things like the Ethiopian World Federation, locals to engage in the manpower and the production, and yeah, this team of producers, and in set up in financial structure, and we just want people to come on board now and make it real, make the world feel it. So the proposed name is African Renaissance Festival. My feeling is that it needs a novelty name. That's what I'm going to say. Me call, me call yesterday, because we have moved from here somewhere, you know? But that is to come. But that's just my idea, you know, because I'm on work closely with the project. But anyway, we did earmark of $5 million as an estimate for such an event. And I think, say, we're going to acquire that too. With the effort that I see being organized right now, right? So we need the officers then to move around the world, and we need networking with other organizations. And I'm going to tell you something, the Nation of Islam, right? The Nation of Israel. It's a name of a few of them, you know. The Buddhist community, the Moonies, them all have organizations that you wouldn't even recognize as them, you know. I call them by the street name, but the Unification Theological Seminary is the Moonies, right? You have one name, the Church of Scientology, those are the Hubbardites, see? You have the Nation of Islam, that is our king, what we call, I call him doctor and everything, but is the brother Farrakhan. Yeah, we love him, can't stop loving him. Right, and we go on and go on. We don't operate like the Pan-Africanists who just being mostly theoretical. We is activists. So we deal with Salem United Methodist Church in Harlem. We deal with, as I said, the Buddhist community. We deal with the Schomburg Library. All these are tenets, like tentacles of black people, you know. Black people make all these things real, you know. The Black Lives Matter. The New Amsterdam Music Association of 131st Street in Harlem. The Zulus. The Black Panther movement, All these people is our people, you know. See? Yeah, we're not afraid to move to these universities. Like the Medieval University, or the Howard University. All these black people, and make them things real, you know. So we don't have a real run long for the, with the white man. We have our institutions that can fortify us and unite us. And, you know, so we have set up task force for various things. And we have a constitution that is recognized by the American government and all governments of the world, for that matter. Yes, and you just need like $1 to be a member. $1, you know. And you're a member. Fill up the form and send it in to the local that you desire. And if you can't find a local and you have enough people in your area, 25 of us just sign up and send in, you know, dues and wait on the executive council to reply and accept it or whatever the procedure is. But I hardly hear anyone being denied. So, you know, it's good. It's a trad what one and one have to take serious. We have phone numbers. We have email address. We have Zoom address. Cyberspace is a regular thing every week. We're on it. One thing, we have businesses. We have farms. We have, you know, we're mobile. We're acquiring properties. It's not like a joke business. Right, so our numbers is our strength, right? And I'm going to ask so when my producer for the next shot, make sure some of the people them get ready for it. Yeah, because them is the poor runners, you know. Them go
the one go. Family, I hear Shasha Mani calling.
Yes, my people. As I said, them coming from Wiley Lynn syndrome to Corona now. Divide and rule, you know. Them right now, I never see people divided. So yet, America, I know them there. But when they have the Tea Party thing, I didn't think to them divided. But now, you can see, and them can't do nothing about it more than say, you know, them own rules will them divide and rule. See, as a oppressor, minor, it's a minority. A rule still, you know, I want to let them know that, you know. Minority subordinate and them dominate the majority of the people and deprive them of them integrity and them will to build them family. But them have to divide and keep it divided in order to remain in power. The minority cannot permit itself the luxury of tolerating the unification of our people, which would undoubtedly signify a serious threat to their own hegemony. Accordingly, the oppressor's heart, by any method available, including violence, any action with an even incipient fashion, could awaken the oppressed to the need for unity. So that's why we can really run up in a them and look this and that from them and all that. Be our strength and our solution to our problem is within us. Concepts such as unity, right? Organization and struggle are immediately labeled as dangerous. Oppressors do not favor promoting community as a whole, but rather find it necessary to promote particular selected leaders. The harmony of the oppressed is only possible when its members are engaged in the struggle for liberation. People are fulfilled only to the extent that they create their world, which is a human world, of course, and create it with their transforming labor. If for a person to be in the world of work, it has to be totally dependent, insecure, and permanently threatened. Their work does not belong to them, so the person cannot be fulfilled. Work that is not free ceases to be fulfilling and becomes an effective means of dehumanization. Unity and organization can enable them to change their weakness into a transforming force with which they can recreate the world and make it more human. Dividing in order to preserve the status quo, then, is necessarily a fundamental objective of the oppressor's actions. In addition, the dominators try to present themselves as saviors of the men and women they divide and dehumanize. They want to preserve their riches, their power, their manipulation, and their ways become a fundamental instrument for the preservation of domination. People must organize authentically for liberation. Authentic organization is obviously the task of the revolutionary leaders, like myself. In order that organizing can be effective here, our action must be consistent with our spoken words, which will inevitably inspire us to become organized. Organization is directly linked to unity and is a natural development in the pursuit of that unity. You can't stay with the loose. You have to join something and something productive or make sense. Can't follow the wicked and the evil forces going down that road. And they melt into the melting pot. Liberation of a people is a common task, a shared effort. And although a lot depends on the historical conditions of the society that we live in, the humility, the courage, and the resilience of those seeking liberation will ensure the upward rising of the spirit of love, forgiveness, and cohesive action. Contact with our people is one of the principal expressions of the culture and edification of character. And that is where the music and that is the time when people get together now or feed one another with our cultural outlook and the vast amount of talent that we have. That is in forging unity. Freedom and authority must complement each other. You have to have authority in order to enjoy your freedom in these times. Therefore, the organization is important. It requires authority and it requires freedom so that you can operate in the context of legality. An organization cannot survive without proper leadership, discipline, and self-determination. It specified objectives including tasks to fulfill and accountability of actions taken and rendered. So in the case of the Afghan Renaissance Festival, the actions taken will be in collaboration with the people it represents. The organizers won't be given the responsibility to teach the people they represent, since the people will be co-authors of this activity. A principal contradiction of society is to present predetermined plans to the people. In our case, the leadership and the people are mutually identified, and together we will create guidelines of our actions, free of any form of alienation. It is important to note the people's perception of themselves, their religious beliefs, their doubts, their hopes, and their way of seeing leadership. These elements must not be ignored or seen separately, as the interaction of all of them paints a total picture. Yes, more produce a line of another song after the next part here. So get yourself ready, shape up there, my producer. These aspirations of the people are limited to only earning some money or to be entertained. Then the leadership can pass this limited aspiration and put in place methods to make the final goal more far-reaching. That it has not yet come to people's attention. The workers must somehow come to be owners of our own labor. We, the black people, need to recognize our own innate problem when it comes to morality. Most leaders in the USA need to be quiet when it comes to morality, including some of those that are black. Morality does not come with a color, but it's an advocate. And if we are going to get better at doing things, then we must make the effort to approach matters with a divine perspective. No one can speak for us, not even poor whites. We need to close the gap ourselves. We need to reduce the great divide between us and other races. Other races will not willingly help us to do this unless they are on the ground where we are. We have no other hope besides utilizing our greatest asset, which is our people, our numbers, especially our younger folks, unlike what most people think. Yes, I am. Lick the shot and make me feel it. Musically. Powerfully.
Great and glorious work of Emperor Haile Selassie.
Shashamani.
I'll pray to you to glorify the name of the king. Yeah. Rally round.
Yeah.
Rally round. Rally round. Shashamani.
Yeah.
Rally round, shout your money, land. Rally round,
majesty, given to live a life under the law of the King of Kings. O beautiful Jerusalem, if I and I forget thee, may our tongue cleave to the roof of our mouth, you see. It was all a part of our destiny, for us to be living the life of Shashamani way. It was ordained for 500 families to live the life, yo, to the highest you see.
Let's manifest His will and build this modern city.
One big collaboration.
This is to be inherited by 500 families.
Bring it together, y'all.
Yeah, man, give thanks, my website. I hear you come on, highlight, you know, answers to the time coming. I can bring these people into the program, but I will text me gradually, you know. But I'm going to change the vibes, you know, right now, and I'm going to advertise the promotion at 406 Utica Avenue at your JAMA, and make the ones them know in the area. The lovely vibes are going to take place on it tonight. And it is called the second annual tribute to the all fallen soldiers. I mean, I'll leave out no one, you know, all the fallen soldiers then. But the one in the front posters is Dan Brown, Earl Moody, Kevin, Claude, Marty. Most of them are here, you know. One of the youngest one is Father German. And then I man include Ras Minlik, Empress Taito, Bunga Isaac, you know. In Bunga we kind of passed to Africa recently, we're bedroom from such time. See? But this event tonight now is vinyl selections, you know, by Ras Tayo 3045. King Milo, Top Cat, Jamisa, Jawan, Jalion, Chilomatic, and early juggling. The youth on the posters, they look like the youth that started juggling. They must have stopped by now, but named DJ Anthony. And we have a part on the posters that have been saying, you know, so the food enough and nice. Yes, man, 406 Utica Avenue, just below the 3 and 4 Cornite train station. You down my health food store. We want to the forward, we call it a backyard session. You know? Try to make it if you can and give some support. And we not stop advertising business there, you know? Yeah. Yeah, and money is this thing. Right? It's real power. Good. So guess what now? We have some look of time left on. I want to change the vibes. I went go for Trinidadian now. I went feature of Trinidadian now. Because we can just depend on Jamaica alone. And this Trinidadian named Otello Molyneux, he is one of the originators of steel pan. Big instrument, you know, but this is a man I treated so serious that him among the greatest jazz musician them, and lick him pan, and him can't complain, them love him. So anyway, his name is Otello Molyneux, steel pan player. And this article from me, is written by me, you know, it's about time. To paraphrase Othello's album title, is the pan in me. I think him leave out the eye out of pan, a feeling, him really a feeling, you know. Yeah, and feel the pain for the black people, and feel the music to lift up their spirit, you know. The eye from in, and place in the pan to read, is the pain. Same thing with the pain. It's a pain in me. Othello's Molyneux uses the joy of his music to express the pain which he feels for mankind. Yes, I met Otello in Florida the same year that Bob Marley passed away in 1981. And I knew instantly that he was no ordinary man. The story only covered the part of him which he so endearingly shares with everyone who listens to his music. He was born in Trinidad and Tobago in 1939 and was educated at Fatima College, a Roman Catholic institution, and Queen's Royal College, a British institution in Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago. Otello's musical career was initiated at an early age with piano lessons from his mother. Growing up in a musical family, his father, violinist, and his sister, vocalist, his love for jazz and his obvious love for people and for the steel drum, or the steel pan as it is called, his native place of origin in Trinidad and Tobago. So we originate the reggae music, and Trinidad originated the steel pan, and Cuba originated the rumba and the cha-cha, and also the Caribbean people in Spain. Yeah, man, when it comes to music. All right, so just, you know, and the steel drum or the steel pan, the native place of origin is Trinidad and Tobago. And formation of his mid-teens, he formed a group. He had his own group, of which he was soon the forefront of, and very instrumental in the successful campaign of getting the steel pan program into the school system, a program that is vibrantly alive and well today. Moving to Miami in 1971, he continued his campaign for the steel drum to be universally recognized and accepted, conducted countless percussion forums at the University of Miami, master classes throughout the high school, playing at the local jazz clubs, touring the world and recording the sound of this incredible instrument, while always asserting that the correlation of this innovation with the existing concept of the art of music and a scientific explanation of the instrument and its operational features was a necessary prerequisite to the universal recognition and acceptance of Trinidad and Tobago's musical invention and gift to the world. The advent of the instrument marked a near revolutionary era in the history of music and musical instruments. Yeah, man, don't take the steel drum light. Recognize all the world. The steel drum was invented in Trinidad and Tobago and is the national musical instrument. Otello's use of the steel drum in the jazz medium across a wide range of musical styles attests to its passion for the instrument, its possibilities, and its own very dynamic musical concept. As he asserts, this, quote unquote, the steel drum is a very chromatic instrument. All the notes are there. It was imperative for him to play jazz on the instrument so as the student of art realize harmonic possibilities. Because there is no chromatics, because there is no logical coherence to the musical style, the intellectual musical mind could only think of it as a percussion and could not relate to the instrument itself, it being as challenging as it is. Now they know. Otello's last album, It's About Time, that was in 1993, voted Best Jazz Album by the Miami New Times, was also declared a jazz masterpiece by America's number one magazine, Jazz Times. His groundbreaking album with Jamaican Monty Alexander, Ivory and Steel, in 1979, has been documented as the first successful commercial jazz album using the steel drum. His institutional book, Beginning Steel Drum, that was published by Warner Brothers, is being used by scholars worldwide and is also being translated to Japanese. Other musical honors include the 1991 Black Music Month Vanguard Award, inclusion in the Japanese Jazz Encyclopedia, nomination in 1979 and 1981 for Best Band in the Jazz Rock category of the Carbonell Music Awards. 10th place in the International Music Poll, Miscellaneous Instrument category. He has also performed with Herbie Hancock, great keyboard player, Jaco Pastorius, Hubert Lahr, great bass player, Dizzy Gillespie, the great trumpeter, Pete Minger, Toots Selamos, Monty Alexander, Jamaican, that Art Blakey, the great drummer, Ira Sullivan, Peter Erskine, Ahmad Jamal, great key player, Makai Tyner, Randy Brecker, Bob Moses, Joe Zabinol, Bob Minster, Jack the Hornet, Howard Johnson, Peter Garden, and J.J. Johnson. I'm in a program. Hello? Yes, I. So, the story only covers a part of him, which he so endearingly, shares with everyone. But it goes on and on and on. Tax festivals in many cities and countries across the globe. Athens, Greece, Berlin, Germany, Vienna, Austria, Milan, The Hague, Holland, Toronto, Montreal in Canada, Rome, Italy, Lugano, Montreux, Switzerland, Stockholm, Sweden, Poland, Finland, Copenhagen, Denmark, Japan. That is the level of man I have presented tonight. And in name Patel Molyneux, I'll be too hard in nobody hear about him. Right? So I'm hide certain things. So we don't be no hide our people and talent. We bring it to the people and the people know that we're powerful, we're strong. And from next week we will start giving people and music. We guide them here what kind of music we're talking about to stop. We're presenting them works. Right? We also perform on Japanese national TV, CBS this morning, the Mike Douglas Show, Cable Satellite Network, and he appeared soundtrack of World of Difference television show in Miami, Florida. A few of the venues that he has performed at around the world have been at Radio City Music Hall, Avery Fisher Hall, Greek Amphitheater, Salon University, and the Academy of Music Philadelphia. Yeah, in 1982, Othello's 10th place rating in the miscellaneous instruments category of the International Dance Critics Poll certainly recognized and legitimized the steel drum as a pertinent dance instrument. This recognition, along with the numerous accolades that he has accumulated along the way, did ultimately earn him an induction in 2009 into the South Florida Jazz Hall of Fame. With such a long and remarkable career, Othello summarizes his involvement as follows. I plan to continue my path of creativity, exploring the instrument of my culture and of my heart within my personal music context. I wish to make my contribution to the recognition and acceptance that this unique instrument deserves. Yes, my producer, touch them again, but you don't know how it works. Right?
We don't need two other but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They all speak words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. Yeah. basis of the Constitution of this United States and the authority of Congress. No, we are not willing to wait another 25 years for our rights. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off.
Yes, I give thanks, give thanks. That was, of course, Martin Luther King addressing people. Well, this last verse I'm going to feature, you know, because pure man feature since night, you know. I have a touch, a female now. And I bet you most people don't know about her either. But that's what my research bring up them great people. On the 22nd of March in 2019, this woman would have been 100 years. She just passed away, like 2 years now. 2019, when I write this, she was alive. Okay? 100th anniversary was 2019. She born 1919. Anniversary of Harlem-based consumer activist Mrs. Florence Rice, born March 22, 1919. Mrs. Florence Rice is an American-born Harlem-based consumer activist and educator. She is the founder of the Harlem Consumer Education Council. She has been called the Ralph Nader of Harlem, and is also known as the mother of Harlem consumer movement. I've been resided in the same building at 158th Street in Harlem for more than 60 years. She defended herself in the housing court when she was evicted constructively from her home. Mrs. Wright's family emigrated from the West Indies before she was born in Buffalo, where she spent many years in the colored orphan asylum, and as the first charitable institution dedicated to the needs of African American children. She has been addressing issues of poverty, neglect, and exploitation that confronted the poor, low-income citizens in New York City's Harlem community. She was an early champion for abortion rights for women and spoke about her life during the 1930s. After completing 8th grade, she went to work as a domestic seamstress. She became a member of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, the ILGW, and in 1962, she participated in a congressional hearing held by Adam Clayton Powell Jr., which probed discriminatory union policies and practices towards African Americans and Latinos. She testified regarding the situation in the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. It is worthy of note that after the congressional hearings, Mrs. Rice was blacklisted and marginalized by the garment industry, which prompted her to start the Harlem Consumer Education Council during the 1960s. Being a member of the ILGW, local number 155, and it is documented in the book Race Straight, written by Noel Ignatiev and John Garvey. And she said she was told that if she testified at the congressional committee hearings before the other committee on investigation of the garment industry, she would never work again in the garment industry. Florence Rice was one woman who made her own signs and picketed business such as the furniture stores and other commercial entities. And she always joined by others who identified with her concerns. She saw the injustices of consumers were being overpriced or sold inferior products. She saw the discrimination in housing and made her voice heard on the streets, on the buses, and on the trains. After the 1960s, Mrs. Florence Rice became somewhat of a new woman, a one-woman consumer dynamo in Harlem, fighting utility companies, credit agencies, furniture stores, and even banks on behalf of the poor. At age 85, she was still wearing pins in her clothes, reading Economic Racism. She defended herself in the housing court, accused of not paying her full rent by the landlord. In turn, she countered with her own accusation that the landlord destroyed her apartment under the guise of repairing it and forcing her out. "I am really glad it happened to me," she said. "I knew I could get support to expose the start of problem. If it hadn't happened to me, it would have happened to someone else my age who might have ended up in a hospital or a nursing home." Having, as a young woman working at a laundry in Harlem, had an illegal abortion, she joined other outspoken women in 1999, talking openly about her illegal abortion experience. Mrs. Florence Rice is still alive, and she passed away now, but when it was written, she was still alive, and just days from her century. Right, when I wrote this, she was just days. That is 2019. Knowing fully well that she represented those without a voice and that her legacy of being an instrument has gone a far way in the lives of especially the colored people of Harlem. So that is the Florence Rice for the night. And the next person of I like is next week is Nina Simone, you know. Yes. A special tribute to Nina Simone. She passed too. Our producer, I think, can have time. Can I just run Nina Simone? Yeah, I think we have. Yeah, man. We are run Nina Simone. Give me a little one song. My producer. Give me a little one song.
This is a call in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this the reveal to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I the First? And daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari, in the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world, in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States, it's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
It's a call to set your people free.
Set your people free.
It's a call.
3 minutes leave, so you have who may have a touch now. Not just Bob Marley, but quickly. Because it's sweet, and we have to leave in a good spirit. Jamaica's reggae legend, Bob Marley, was applauded on the field more than a dozen times as the globe's first third world Atiba to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before a captive audience. At the Astoria Hotel in New York, marked by the presence of Bruce Springsteen, Martin Scorsese, Dennis Kennedy Jr., Yoko Ono, Eric Clapton, Chuck Berry, Robert De Niro, Mariah Carey, and the Octaves, Elton John, Dwayne Eddy, The Animals, The Band, Grateful Dead, and the family of Billy Dixon, Bono, the former, the fronter for Ireland's premier recording group, U2, lavished a testimony and Marley. So here in the joke about it now. Them revere Marley so much at the occasion, you know, that man crying, white man cried to rot and can't believe to the future so terrible. The voice of Bob Marley was a voice of reason. One love. I felt it, one man said. I understand it. One brother named Bonac recall and deliver in poetic Gaelic brogue when offered an impassioned 3-page message which brought tears to the eyes of Chris Blackwell. You know who Chris Blackwell is? Man who take with Bob Marley catalog and close down Island Record and TV for the whole of the money. Marley's initial and principal believer. So at times Bona seemed to lapse into song as he told a historic tale of reggae's beginning and its influence around the world. The ticket to go to that event was $1,500. That when he heard the end, a segment stood to give him accolades as a speechwriter after 3 pages, you know, in the vote to Marley at the event, you know, boy, people are patient, like my listeners right now. He said Marley wanted everything at the same time and was everything at the same time. Prophet, Soul Rebel, Rastaman, Herbsman, Wildman, a Natural Mystic Man, Ladies Man, Island Man, Family Man, Rita's Man, Soccer Man, Pro Man, Human, and Jamaican. I'm going to leave that right now, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so after the mystic work, you know, and the time now is well, yeah, man, we're out, over and out, in the producer.
Thanks. Thanks and praise to the Emperor. We touch the money on our mind. established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States. It's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.